Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of July. Joining us this morning is Flyboy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, you know, I could call something like Maverick, but that probably wouldn't be appropriate.
I wouldn't.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, it was great. Did you see it?
Three times.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's kind of like Rocky. Uh-huh. You just kind of get a little jacked up and, you know, feeling like maybe there are things that are possible. And
yeah, I thought they did a great job of putting kind of a lull in the middle of the movie and then really amping it up towards the end. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You ready for your question or why do we say that?
Well, with that new nickname you gave me, I should be ready for anything you can find there, Brian.
All right. Why do we say taboo? That something is taboo.
Taboo. It just sounds like it has a Chinese connection, but I honestly don't know.
Well, you got in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Europeans who ventured into the South Seas during early voyages of exploration were intrigued by colorful native customs. Some of the most puzzling were those that forbade passage or contact. Among the Tongans, it seemed that everywhere a seaman turned, he was confronted by a priest who barred his way and muttered, "Taboo, taboo," meaning forbidden, forbidden.
Okay.
No forbidden object could be touched or even examined from a distance, and a forbidden place could not be entered. Famous explorer Captain Cook and other sailors altered the Polynesian term a trifle bit and returned home with a new novel sound that expressed warning. Several classical and European words indicating caution were supplanted by the novel expression from the South Seas. As a result, to speakers of numerous modern languages, anything forbidden is now likely to be termed taboo.
I love the education I get
you didn't
every
know.
Time in here.
You didn't know that you could speak Tongan.
Now I have one word in my Tongan vocabulary. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, so how's life out at the airport?
Life's good. It's busy, busier than it's ever been from the passenger side, but we're also ramping up to start some big projects here in the next few months and moving forward into next year.
Are the solar panels doing what they're supposed to, or do you even know, or are you just kind of renting land to them?
We are renting land, but in fact, I had a conversation on my way to your office or studio here this morning with the engineers again, and yeah, it's up and running. It's a great project that has a lot of benefits far beyond our airport property, but to the community as a whole. But yeah, we're benefiting from a financial perspective. You brought up renting land. I looked at our PG&E bill a couple months ago, and we had over a $6,000 deduction in that, and that's really how RCEA
monthly?
Is paying. Yep. So.
Boy, those lights on the runway really are kind of pricey, aren't they?
They're very pricey, to the tune of about $150,000 a year for PG&E power.
Really?
Yeah, that's beyond just the runway lights. That's
the
approach lights and kind of the whole facility, yeah. But still, it's...
You're getting
it's,
up in Radioville there. Holy cow.
I got into the wrong...
You're laughing,
field.
And I'm not. You'll notice that.
But yeah, it's... it's something that, you know, that financial benefit's big to us, but there's more to it.
Somebody had pointed out, and I, what do I know about solar panels, that there are some that will track the sun.
Yeah.
And that those are like the next level up as far as the efficiency and the revenues. Why, was it just a cost factor of the infrastructure that didn't opt to go with that option?
Well, so at an airport, you have to go through, if you're proposing to put up solar panels, you have to do a glare analysis from a safety perspective.
It's not for the birds, it's for the pilots?
Right, okay. Right. Yep, it's for those metal birds coming in and out. So just to make sure that you know, from any angle that a pilot might be coming in or out of the airport from, that those panels aren't going to cause any issues. So doing those... panels that kind of track the sun makes that difficult, if not impossible. But one thing our engineers did do up there, not our engineers, but the Shaw Center engineers from Cal Poly Humboldt, they did a bidirectional panel. So all of those panels, they're not only generating energy from the top side facing the sun, but the reflection off the ground underneath also adds additional benefit and energy generation. So.
I suspect the biggest thing other than airplanes that we've heard in the last little bit is the restaurant, that there's some actual movement going on, which I think would probably rekindle a lot of positive feelings and pull a thorn out of your side. Yeah, I can't imagine that you would be talked to more about anything up there other than the parking lot. It's the restaurant. When's the restaurant? When's the restaurant? When's the restaurant? So,
yes.
When's the restaurant?
So we do have some good news on that front that I want to share. The Grind Cafe, Gabby Long and her team, she owns The Grind here in Eureka. She also owns The Taste of BIM here in Eureka. She just opened a Grind Cafe location at ACV a couple weeks ago. So right at the end of June there, she got up and running in the space that was formerly occupied by Ramones prior to COVID.
So the magazine room.
Yeah, yeah. And she did some really nice work and put a nice flair to that new space for her. And she started out really, really well. Now, it's not going to have a full bar. She is working on getting her beer and wine license from the ABC. That should be coming here in the next few months. But has a great selection of, you know, food and coffee and other drinks. But
you're dancing, dude.
No, she's there. What
upstairs.
I wanted to say, yeah,
up,
I know.
Upstairs,
what she's doing that we didn't have before. She's there from before that first flight launches in the morning until
so like 5-ish.
Yep. And then our last departure at night right now is about 8:30 p.m. And United's doing that, going down to San Fran, and then folks connect in Red Eye or stop in San Fran, but. Gabby's there up until folks are going through security or her team's there. So you can get breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, throughout the day. So that's great. The restaurant space upstairs, we don't have any major traction on that. One thing, you mentioned the thorn in my side. Kind of the bigger thorn in my side, or bigger picture, if you will, is really the terminal as a whole. And that terminal was constructed in 1979. And we feel that our team has done a pretty good job keeping the aesthetics up within the terminal. It's still a good overall customer experience utilizing our airport. It's just a little cramped, to be quite honest, with 189-seat aircraft coming in there regularly now. So, and even the 76-seat regional jet, we are not designed to handle that on a single basis or certainly multiple at the same time. So we're trying to look at what do we do over the next few years and hopefully getting traction on the restaurant and so.
KINS, news and information time. Don't worry, I won't let him slide. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Raggetts from Humboldt Redwoods? I don't know. ACV.
We got a big, long one.
Does anybody ever use it?
The California Redwood Coast Humboldt County Airport? I learned that before I got the job.
Did you? Is it like on your letterhead somewhere?
Well, a little bit, but in the interview process, I stumbled through it, so I didn't forget the name after that. But, yeah, I usually refer to it as ACV.
Yeah, I think.
A lot easier.
Yeah, and more polite.
Yeah.
With some of the different challenges, you know, you mentioned the facility building. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, other than the baggage claim area and the blender at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I think most folks are comfortable with it. I mean, maybe internally there's some issues, but, you know, going through the airport, nah, okay, fine, it works.
Yeah.
The parking lot, though, if it was an either or, I think most folks would vote on the parking lot rather than the building. Just you mentioned capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you get more people flying, there are going to be more cars that are there for the long periods of time.
Yep.
As well as for the short ones. So
yep.
It just really looks like that's almost a choke point for potential growth. Am I missing something on that one?
Not at all. In fact, you hit the nail on the head, and we're actually going to start with the parking lot. So we've planned for a two-phase project. In fact, here over the next few weeks, I hope to get board approval to start the design process with that, which should take us 6 to 8 weeks just for the phase one. But that'll really put us into this fall to kick off construction of phase one.
You like the terrace style?
Well, what we're going to do is phase one, we're going to add capacity to the north of the terminal. So that large hangar that sits
where
north
the coasties
of the
are, or the old work area.
Yeah, so it's the old one of the old military facilities up there.
So as you're making the turn,
yeah. Just so when
the
you're
other
in
side
the,
of the fence, there? Yeah,
when you're in the loop, if you keep going north when you're past the terminal, rather than turn out to go back to Airport Road. There's a bare space.
Where the sheriff parks.
Well, yep.
I don't think many of us feel comfortable going past that one, yeah.
We'll get it reconfigured so you do feel comfortable. But we've had to utilize a space over there that actually used to be the spot for one of the facilities that the military had long ago knocked down or removed. And we've used that space for overflow parking here in recent times when we've really had an influx. In particular, last Thanksgiving and Christmas time frames, we were way over capacity.
Oh, good. So it was nice
there.
And muddy?
Yeah, it actually wasn't bad. Okay. We got lucky last year. But by the time we get to Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, we hope to have that phase one portion done. So we'll have that paved. Excuse me. And then that'll still be easy access into the north side of the terminal. We'll ensure that there's, you know, ADA compliance for folks to go back and forth. And then in phase two, we're going to transition into the current short-term and long-term parking lot. The reason we're starting with phase one and kind of that new parking area is that's going to give us approximately 60 more parking spaces. So when we go back inside the loop in the current parking lot, and we start shutting down chunks of that to do construction
somewhere
and
for
rehab.
The folks to go.
Yep, we got the additional capacity. Now what's going to happen in phase two, as we rehabilitate that, we're also going to reconfigure it. So today, between short and long term, we have 370-ish spaces up there. At the end of this project, phase one and two, we're going to have about 550 to 575, depending on what the final design comes out.
So there's
out
your
at.
Growth
exactly.
opportunity.
Exactly, yep. And it's going to be, you know, modernized from the pavement side, but also from the customer service side. We're going to bring in that technology that you've seen in other locations where it's automated. You have an app on your phone, or you go up to
like Santa Rosa
the stand, or you drive to the exit, and you just put your card in, and away you go.
It's all done.
Yep. So we're admittedly quite a few years behind with our current setup, but we are addressing that. So
yeah, it's. There are easy ones and there are tough ones.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And that is all part of that whole customer experience. It can really hurt you if it's not done right.
Absolutely. And it is something that I don't think has really been addressed for quite a while. And, you know, going back to the terminal age, the parking lot's old too, and a lot of our infrastructure is, but it's really exciting right now to be on the cusp of starting that process. Now, it's going to be a multi-year process, and we're going
to
go through
No, but you get a chance
pains,
to,
but yeah.
to make an airport.
Right.
That probably is
right.
a once-a-career.
Yeah, it really is, and we were fortunate to get some additional funding from the feds because of the CARES Act, but we're trying to maximize utilization of that to really benefit, at the end of the day, the airport customer, people coming in and out.
Any thought to having retail along whatever the road is?
Along Airport Road there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
you know, it doesn't seem like there's enough concession space to do the luggage stuff, mm-hmm. and the things that are inside some of the larger airports doesn't right. mean that we don't have those needs, but I'm wondering if there might, not like a department store for flyers, but along those lines.
Yeah, so one thing that mostly larger airports have done is they've really looked at how can we utilize unused space to generate revenue for non-aeronautical purposes, and a lot of them have turned to hotels.
Part of the airport?
Yeah, yeah. San Francisco just opened theirs, I think it was about 2 to 3 years ago, right before COVID. But the airport doesn't own the hotel. The airport leases the space and then has a contractual agreement with the hotel operator.
Well, it's so, like they don't own McDonald's.
Right,
right. There's an operator.
Exactly,
that comes in.
Exactly. Yeah. So a percentage of the sales at the hotel or restaurant or retail space goes back to the airport for that payment. So
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Airport Director. How's that?
That's perfect.
All right, Cody Brackens. Cody, as you look at some of the different changes that are there, there are those that embrace change, mm-hmm. those that cause change, and those that are averse to change.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting any blowback about the changes at the airport? I mean, if it's argued financially, okay. At least you can kind of understand and be sympathetic to that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's argued because aesthetics,
mm-hmm. yeah,
additional competition, some of those issues that are kind of more protectionist,
yeah,
that's a whole different dynamic that's at work there. Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction so far as you've been doing the dog and pony show a little bit with these potential changes?
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard a whole lot of negative feedback. Like you mentioned, there are people that in a general sense, want to keep things the way they've always been. And we are at a point at the ACV airport and a lot of our other airports where we've gone past that, where the infrastructure is so old or so dilapidated, we need to take action.
And nobody's defending it.
Well, right. It's either we want to continue to have an airport or we need to have another conversation that I certainly don't want to have, right? So it's really exciting on the parking lot and maybe the terminal in the future. We're certainly going to try. And some of the stuff we have going or coming forward in the airfield and getting that up to modern standards. And really I see it as the airport being a piece of a bigger trend here in Humboldt County. When you look at what Cal Poly Humboldt has going on and the growth that they're, you know, planning for and hopefully implementing over the next few years, wind farms and fish farms and just a lot of really big economic development activity happening in different parts of the county. And when that happens for a community at the scale that we're talking about here in Humboldt, for a small community overall, the airport needs to grow with that and needs to be an active part of that process, because if the community has success on even any of those fronts, and we have hundreds or thousands of additional people moving into Humboldt County, that inherently is going to drive a lot more traffic coming through that airport, and we need to be ready for that.
Last segment, we talked a little bit about lodging accommodations as part of the airport. Mm-hmm. You mentioned as soon as you started with the growth stuff, I went, What about condos as part of this, whether the top floor of the airport or in the parking, as there are medical professionals that come into town and then leave, or some of the experts that the district attorney's office and the legal community will bring in, or you said Humboldt, you know, some of the traveling, all those types of folks, I would think there might be a niche there, not uber luxurious, but kind of along those lines that these folks could either rent out on a monthly basis or maybe even just purchase, and then you guys handle the ongoing maintenance. That's something that doesn't exist here, so it wouldn't be competitive to anybody. And I think there might be a niche there for that stuff, too.
That's a very creative idea.
Next.
No. I mean, I think that's something that as we're going through planning for the future of our airports, which is also a big project we're underway with, you know, it's those types of conversations that we want to have with the planners and with the public meetings and kind of talk through those concepts. I will tell you that California in particular and a lot of other regions of the country, there's a very long history of residences and their location or proximity to airports and problems with noise and things like
the
that.
The folks that are at the end of the runway.
Yeah, and we certainly don't want to create a problem like that on airport property, but that doesn't mean we can't explore or try to come up with a new approach for
who in their right mind would moan and groan about airplane noise if they're renting for a couple of days at the airport.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there's ways you can mitigate that, you know, in the construction process.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to bring some of that Midwest insulation we put in our homes back there. My family does out here to get a little sound.
Build a basement just because.
But no, it's something to consider. And there are, like I said, ways you not get around it, but you just construct it the right way.
Well, and I would think, you know, getting back to the parking lot that we talked about earlier, if you took those slots that had the view of the ocean, now you've got a little buffering and separation. You've got some of the buildings that are there, and you know, you don't put the windows on the airport side. You put them on the ocean side. I mean, you know, some real basic things.
Right. And it's, I think that parking lot is going to be the start. You know, in the airport world, we talk about airside or inside the perimeter fence and then landside outside the perimeter fence. And that landside...
Do you have a perimeter fence?
Yep.
Okay.
That landside construction or improvements
that's a security fence around.
Yeah. So that landside improvement that we're going to make and that investment in the customer experience, I think that's going to be kind of like planting the seed, and I think there's going to be a lot of growth and positive, construction or infrastructure improvements beyond that parking lot once we're done with it.
That you guys are working with?
Well, it
or are you talking about across the street?
Well, across the street, but also hopefully on our side of the street too. You know, the creative idea that you brought up, Brian, I mean, that's just one of many. There's really a multitude of possibilities we could look at for development on the airport side of the street too.
Who knows? You even put in a dog adoption center by the airport. No, that would never happen. Never happen. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Regetz from the Humboldt County Airport, et cetera, et cetera. Cody, with some of the infrastructure, we've talked about the parking lot. We've talked about the expansion part. You know, it's neat if you have demand. If you don't have demand, you're kind of just, you know, was it whistling as you walk by the graveyard?
Yeah.
You know, it's not really, you know, no reason for it. How disturbing was it for you to lose American and to lose the flight to Vegas, because those were two very cool developments, and then to have them disappear so soon, that must have been frustrating.
It really was, Brian, and it. I also have a lot of sympathy for the Americans, the Avellos, and really the rest of the industry. And I'm certainly not sitting here with you this morning talking to your listeners and saying I'm sympathetic to multi-billion-dollar companies. That's not the case. It's what that industry, the airline industry, has gone through over the last 2.5-3 years, through the biggest crash that they've ever seen from a financial and passenger perspective.
Well, it's like the restaurant industry. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
Et cetera, et
yeah,
cetera. Yeah.
You know, we had our passenger numbers dwindle 95% almost overnight at our airport, and that was the industry standard. 95% of your customers go away in just a few weeks, and nobody really knew what to do coming out of that. And obviously, we've transitioned and had some great successes, like you mentioned. But now these airlines are facing record fuel prices, and they have not nearly enough pilots. And in talking to decision makers at some of these airlines, they are literally having to consider and implement cutting routes that they call it in the green, or where they're making money. And that Phoenix route is one of them.
So counter. So they were making bucks.
Yeah, they were doing quite well.
Just not enough, or there were other routes that were more profitable, even more profitable than us?
So we honestly have been, you know, we're really bummed about the loss. We worked really hard to get Phoenix. We worked really hard to get Vegas and some of the other successes we've had recently. We obviously haven't been as successful on the retention side in losing those, but what happens in the airline industry, so folks go through a military program and then commit so many years as a pilot and then come out and join the ranks in an airline or for a cargo carrier, or they go to a university program or a specialized training program and they get their certifications and experience. But they typically start at the regional carriers. SkyWest.
Minor leagues.
Yep. So like the aircraft that American flies in here for at least another few weeks, what United flies in here, those are all regional carriers. That isn't actually United flying that. It's United branding.
So even
branding.
Though they're big planes, yeah. From our reference, is an upgrade, it still isn't.
Yeah, when you get to Phoenix, the plane you're on is a pretty small plane compared to the mainline ones, right?
So yeah, you see the whales go by.
Yeah, exactly. And so what pilots do when they go through whatever training track they take, they start at that regional, they build hours and years of experience, but then the bigger paying jobs are flying those bigger aircraft for the mainlines. And so what's happened with the natural attrition, really, it's being driven by baby boomers retiring and having to retire for mandated retirement ages, is there has been a flood of these regional pilots moving on up to mainline carriers or moving to a FedEx or UPS for box carrying. And those are the higher paying jobs. Obviously, if they have an opportunity, that's what they should be doing. But it's really left these regional carriers in a bad place.
Why are we able then to keep the Denver route?
That Denver route is actually our highest passenger route when you look at a load factor.
And I would think that Phoenix was probably a close second because we have to avoid the train wreck called San Francisco.
No comment.
Yeah, I know. We would probably use another word later on.
Yeah.
And I guess L.A. must continue to be chunking along because nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, L.A.'s, they're kind of United slowly bringing that back after COVID as far as how many operations and connections and so on and so forth that they had. But not just for our market, but all markets that they previously served down there.
But Denver is the huge one.
Denver is actually the second biggest airport in United's market or United's hub network, and Denver has only a little fewer operations each week than Chicago O'Hare, which is where United's headquarters is. So it's their second biggest as far as connectivity and passenger options and flights per week. So we're really blessed to be a part of that, and we've obviously been a part of that growth over the last few years.
Are they going to add up or add in because Phoenix is gone? Is there that elasticity, or is it they just have so many people and so many birds and that's it, and thank you very much?
Yeah, it's really a limiting factor is that crew shortage that they're all going through. So we're lucky. You know, we're still bummed that we're losing Phoenix and Las Vegas, but we're lucky that that's all that's happened in our market, because there's a lot of communities like Humboldt County around the country that have had much bigger impacts to their air service networks.
So wouldn't be SOL, it'd be FOL. Flying out of luck, yeah.
Walking.
All right, well, have fun with the soups later on this morning.
Thank you
so much.
See
everybody tomorrow.